Day eyes that are blind will see you clearly, and one day all who deny will finally believe, and one day hearts made of stone will break in pieces, and one day chains once unbroken will fall down at your feet. So we wait for that one day. Come quickly, we want to see your glory. Every knee falls down before thee, every tongue offers you praise, with every hand raised, singing glory to you and unto you only. We'll sing glory to your name.
And one day voices that lie will all be silent, and one day all that's divided will be whole again. One day death will retreat and wave its white flag, and one day love will defeat the strongest enemy.
So we wait for that one day. Come quickly, we want to see your glory. Every knee falls down before thee, every tongue offers you praise, with every hand raised, singing glory to you and unto you only. We'll sing glory to your name.
We know not the day or the hour or the moments in between,
but we know the end of the story when we'll see your glory. Every knee falls down before thee, every tongue offers you praise, with every hand raised, singing glory to you and unto you only. We'll sing glory to your name. One day,
the Lord, amen. One day, friends, we'll be there in glory. I can't wait for that day. How about you? I want to praise God for all the leaders of this church that have made this event possible. I want to thank you for y'all's participation in coming. I want to praise God above all for my lovely wife who has joined me by my side in doing full-time ministry. I'm so blessed to have it. I'm so thankful that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Let's bow our heads for another word of prayer. My Father, which is in heaven, Father, I want to pray from my heart that you will speak tonight one more time. Father, you've made your presence known night after night. Decisions have been made, lives have been changed. And tonight, Father, I pray that you may bless us once again with your divine presence. That you will speak to our hearts individually as well as corporately. Lord, we will not leave this place the same as we came in. They will put in our hearts, Father, a taste of heaven so that we would never, ever desire from here on out the things of this world again. Bless us, I pray, with your Holy Spirit. For I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Alrighty, we're studying out a topic today. It's called Home, Sweet Home. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, "Now I saw an old heaven." Oh, you guys are never going to get good at this. Let's try this again. "And I saw" what? "A new heaven and a new" what? "Earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also, there was no more" what? "Sea." Revelation testifies tonight, friend, that there is a new world and heaven that is coming, which will bring complete peace and happiness. Friends, would you like to have this earth as your heaven? The fact of the matter is that many are living their lives only for this earth. They are so desensitized to sin that all around them, that this world and this place of sin has become comforting to them. There are many today who, like the rich young ruler, have too many riches in this world to even want or consider the world above. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Do not love" the what? "The world," or the things in the what? "World. If anyone loves the world, for the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the" what? "Of the world." So here's the beloved Apostle John, who walked and talked and lived with Jesus for 3.5 years, and he comes to the conclusion, one of the conclusory remarks of his letter to his people, his children, was, listen, do not love this world. Don't let the pleasures of this world trap you here, because the Bible says, and the world is what? Passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides for how long, everybody? Forever. The Bible says, listen, this world is falling apart. The things of this world is crashing down, but there's one thing that will endure forever. The Bible says the Word of God endures forever. And it says here in this verse that he who follows the will of God will abide forever. Can you say amen out there? Friends, I want to experience heaven. But you know, heaven, to some people, is a strange place. It doesn't exist in their mind. To many people, heaven is simply a state of mind. It's an inner peace. It's a state of calmness. To many people, heaven is their house. It's worth millions and millions of dollars, and their chariot is their Ferrari. Many people say, oh, my kids are my angels. Friends, I have a question for you all tonight. Is this world worth loving? Is this world worth loving? If you were to look at this world, friends, what do you see? Well, I'll tell you what we saw last year. According to the National Safety Council, it estimated that 40,000 people were killed and 4.6 million injured on U.S. roads. That's the highest in 9 years. When you look at this world, what do you see? In 2016, almost 600,000 Americans died of cancer. That's about 1,632 people every single day. When you look at this world, what do you see? Last year, 50,000 Americans died from drug overdose. When you look at this world, what do you see? More than 300 million people worldwide suffer from depression. It is a leading cause of disability. When you look at this world, what do you see, friends? Natural disasters have killed more than 600,000 people and left behind trillions of dollars in damages in the last 2 decades. When you look at this world, what do you see? 21,000 people die every day, friends. 21,000. Every single day, die of hunger or hunger-related causes. That is, friends, one person every 4 seconds. They die because they don't have any food. When you look at this world, what do you see? What's worth loving, friends? I tell you what's my eyes on. When seeing all this sin and pain in this world, Who would want to make this their eternal home? Is there a better place coming, friends, that has no pain, sin, and suffering? Why do we have to go through all the pain down here? The Bible tells us why. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light, what? Affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. The Bible says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Friends, when you get to this world, when you live in this world for a long time, you kind of get used to those kind of statistics. One person dying every 4 seconds doesn't move us. 600,000 people dying of drug overdose doesn't move us. Over almost 2,000 people dying almost every day because of cancer doesn't move us. Friends, I want to tell you something. That all this suffering that is going on there, on here, down in this planet, should move us to want something better. We shouldn't be comfortable with living with those kind of statistics in this world. Friends, my question is, if you are uncomfortable tonight, what are you doing to change it? Jesus said that he is going to come when the gospel has been preached to just Mexico. To Puerto Rico? The Bible says this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? In all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end what? Friends, if you are tired of living in this world, what are you doing to get out of here? I could tell you one thing you could be doing. You could be praying, but you could be trying to tell the gospel to every person you know. Somebody out there ought to say amen. Just a couple days ago, a dear sister in this church was at the post office. She was taking a quarterly, I believe, to mail out. And the person that she was going to mail it out to said, hey, what is this? Oh, Seventh-day Adventist Church. She did not have a flyer, but she told him, hey, we're having a meeting tonight. You should come. Ladies and gentlemen, he came. What are you doing? With the knowledge of the gospel that you have, are you being desensitized to sin, or are you being empowered to stop living a life of sin, friends? Heaven is coming, and there is something better. Can you say amen? There is something better that is coming. There was a royal line of people throughout the history of the Bible that considered this world not their home. Look at what these men and women did. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, these all died in what? Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this what? Friends, these men and women that are in the hall of faith, the Bible says that they consider themselves strangers to this place. Pilgrims. The Bible says, for those who say such things plainly declare that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they have called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to do what, friends? All these men and women who were following Jesus could have had a chance to backslide in their experience, but their eyes were set, their wheels were in motion, they were going home, friends, and they were taking as many people as they could with them. The Bible says something, but now they desire a better. That is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Ladies and gentlemen, are you looking forward to entering into that city? A city that has streets of gold? No pain, no suffering? The Bible tells us, friends, that we are illegal aliens, thus us Christians, to this planet. And we are about to be deported. What do you say? The Bible says our citizenship is where? In heaven. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. The Bible says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are waiting for the Savior, if you're living for the Savior, the Bible says he has a surprise for you, waiting. And friends, This is going to be the greatest surprise the world has ever seen. One out of every 25 verses in the New Testament is related to the second coming. The people in the New Testament are ready to get out. How about you? I said, how about you? Friends, I'm ready, friends. And you know what the Bible says? Jesus tells us, yes, we have these startling statistics that move our soul to sadness and pain. Of all the suffering that's going on down here, but Jesus says a mighty promise. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be what, everybody? There you may be also. Friends, Jesus is preparing a place that has no sin or suffering. You will not see any of those things up there. But the question is, what is going to come out of heaven? What does God have in store for you and I tonight? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The Bible says, and I heard a what kind of voice? A loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, their God. Friends, are you looking forward to entering that city? What does the city look like? What is it like? The Bible says, in that great city, friends, you will be surprised by seeing many things. The Bible says, now the wall of the city had 15 foundations. Very good. 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the what? 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, have you ever wondered, if you study this out, have you ever wondered why in the world are the apostles' names written on the walls of the New Jerusalem? Have you ever wondered that? Why? Why is their names written there? You know what, friends? I think God did it for a reason. This is just my opinion. It's worth nothing. But I believe that their names are written there to give us hope that if they can make it, we can make it too. See, friends, Peter, James, and John, they were sinners just like you and I. And yet their names are written on the walls, friends. Graffitied on the walls. Just to testify, if they can make it, we can make it too, friends. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are what? Are equal. How big is this city? One mathematician estimated that the New Jerusalem could house 2 billion people just on the ground floor. If we use magnificent multi-story buildings, the possibilities are endless. 2 billion just on the ground floor. How big is this city, though? Let's get a little practical. The city of God, the New Jerusalem, is estimated to be just as big as the state of Colorado. This is a city of God. It's just as big as the state of California, or Colorado, excuse me. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 what? Pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent what? Now listen, when you look at this city, how many of you are struck with its sheer beauty? Any of you struck by its sheer beauty? Streets of gold, the gates are made of what? Pearls? I have a question. Why is this city so valuable? Friends, this city is so valuable because to God, you are so valuable. You are so valuable tonight, friends. The Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, friends. Question is, when do we get to go there? When do we get to go to heaven? How do we get there, friends? Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and what? And rejoice. And give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that Jesus is coming for a bride that has made herself ready. But there's so many Christians, friends, that have become desensitized to this world. They love it. Even though all around them, one child that dies of hunger every 4 seconds. How could you love this world, friends? We need to be preparing ourselves to getting out of this planet. What do you say? Friends, how do we do it? It's by preaching the true gospel. The Bible says in Matthew 24, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the what? Kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end what, everybody? The end shall come. What is this gospel that is enduring until the end of time that will get us out of this planet? What is this true enduring gospel? Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it before. The Bible says in Revelation 14:6, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to do what? To preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Who are these people that is preaching this gospel that brings an end to this world? The Bible says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of who? Friends, who are these people that have been given a high calling, the greatest opportunity to bring an end to this world? Who are those people? Oh, I heard someone say it. It's us. Can you say amen? All of us, friends, who have been studying, who have been learning that three angels' message, friends, we have a message to give that brings an end to all the pain. What do you say? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, behold, I tell you a what? A mystery. We shall not all what? But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Change, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades or grave, where is your what? Friends, tonight, by God's grace, one day we will conquer the very thing that is seeking to conquer us. The grave, friends. One day, if we fall asleep in Jesus, we're going to come out hearing the voice of God, wiping the dust off of our shoulders, saying, this will never be my home again. Friends, I'm looking forward to that day. The Bible says we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. How many of you are looking forward to getting a new body? Come on, raise it up high. Some of you are just happy with your bodies. God bless you. God bless. Tell you what, tonight, friends, I'm looking forward to getting a new body. The Bible says one day, friends, God is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. There's not going to be any more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The Bible says violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates what? Praise. The Bible says they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. Friends, I want to be there. Heaven is a real place. The Bible says something sweet. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered or come to mind. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their what? Fruit. The Bible says they shall not build and another what? Inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. How many of you are excited that there's going to be no more bills when we get to heaven? Oh, that was the loudest amen. No more rent, friends. No more taking leases or loans. No more bankruptcy. It's all over. Friends, we get to build and inhabit. You know, friends, I am a terrible builder. I could barely build a fort out of blankets. But I'm looking forward to learning in heaven. And friends, it's going to be the nicest house up there. What do you say? I'm just kidding. How do we get there, friends? How do we get there? You know, in the Bible, there have been faithful men who have made it to heaven. Let's look at their lives and ask ourselves through the lens, as we look through the lens of their lives, to see how were they able to make it to heaven. How? Well, friends, the first person who ever made it to heaven, he was translated. What was his name? Enoch was translated without seeing death. Now, what was the condition of the world when he lived in? It was nice and peaceful, right? It was perfect. Garden of Eden. The Bible says Enoch lived in the time of the flood, right before the time of the flood. The Bible says that the thoughts of their minds were evil continually. The Bible says, just as the times of Noah were, will be the times of the end when Christ comes. Friends, Enoch was able to be translated without seeing death in the most wicked generation the world has ever seen. How did he do it? When the Bible says, although the imagination of the man's heart is evil from his what? How did he do it? How did he get from this world to the next in the most wicked generation? How did he do it? The Bible says, but of that day and hour, no one what? No one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important for us to understand how Noah made it so that we can make it too. Can you say amen? So how did he do it? The Bible says in Genesis 5, Enoch lived 65 years old, and he begat Methuselah. After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with who? 300 years, and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch did what? He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So the Bible says that Enoch did what? He walked with God. What in the world does that mean? How did Enoch do that? Let me share with you what this phrase means, walk with God. What does that mean? Look at Noah. The Bible says, Noah was a what kind of man? A just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. So what does it mean when Enoch walked with God? What does it mean he was a what kind of man? A just and a perfect man. The Bible says about Abraham, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless and perfect. What does it mean to walk with God? Blameless, just, perfect. The Bible says the law of truth was in his mouth and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. What does it mean to walk with God? Friends, it means to be just, blameless, perfect. It means to turn others away from their sins. How did Enoch walk with God? Where was his focus, friends? The Bible tells us what it was. The Bible says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Jude 14 and 15. The Bible says, friends, that Enoch's mind was on the second coming. This is a prophecy of the second coming. Enoch's mind, while living in a wicked generation, was thinking about Christ's second coming. That's how he was able to walk with God. The Bible says, can two walk together lest they be what? So what did Enoch agree with God on? How was he able to walk with God? Well, friends, it means that he agreed with God. What agreed on what? Notice what the Bible says about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was what? Taken away. So that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he did what? He pleased God. Friends, every decision that Enoch made, he asked himself, Lord, is this pleasing you or is this pleasing me? Because I want to be blameless. I want to be upright. I want to be perfect. I want to lead others away from sin. And so, Lord, I want to walk with you so that in all that I do, I'm going to have a testimony that I please you. Friends, Enoch made it to heaven because in all that he did, he sought to please God. Amazing, friends. Next, we have a man named who? Come on, speak to me. What was his name? Moses. How did he do it? How did he make it to heaven, friends? Notice what the Bible says. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of what? Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what, friends? Listen, how did Moses make it to heaven? Moses kept his eyes so much on God and his promises that he began to reflect his character. Moses made it to heaven. Why? Number one, he took more pleasure in serving God than serving himself. Number two, he kept his eyes on God's promises. There's one more man I would like to talk about. Who is this man? Elijah. How did Elijah make it to heaven? Bible says in James, Elijah was a man with a nature like who? Like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and six what? Months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or did you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he what? Pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets, and I torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. How did Elijah make it? Friends, he had a connection with God that was so powerful. He pled with God. He had his relationship with God. Communication always was open. So friends, how did these people make it to heaven? Number one, they witnessed for God. They kept the second coming in mind. They had more pleasure in being faithful to God's word than in their own pleasures. They were in tune with God through prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, are you excited about meeting these people? Oh, some of you aren't. Are you guys excited of meeting some of these people who made it up there? Friends, I'm excited too. The Bible says, and I say to you that many will come from the east and to the what? West, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of what? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm excited to ask Daniel, how was it like? Oh, Daniel, tell me, how was it like to be thrown into the lion's den? I'll forget that. I see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking around. Hey, guys. How was it like being cast in to that fiery furnace? How was it like? Oh, forget them. I see someone else. I see Jesus. Jesus, how was it like? How was it like when you heard your own bones crushing it, when the nails pierced your hands? Jesus, how was it like when the world was forsaking you and it felt like you were the presence of the Father was leaving you? How was it like? Friends, I'm excited about seeing Jesus. I'm excited about seeing those faithful men and women. But friends, do you know that when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to recognize each other? Did you know that? The Bible says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, then shall I know fully, even as I have been fully what? Friends, we will be able to see each other. We'll be able to recognize each other. Friends, we'll be able to spend time in Jesus' arms. The Bible says, speaking of Jesus, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the what? The temple, the Bible says, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. And there shall be no more what? Curse. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. As well as the singers, as players on the instrument shall be there. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. The song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgment has been made manifest. Friends, what's going to be the pervading feeling up in heaven? Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Brother Ben, Vanessa, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing louder than you. Friends, I'm looking forward to singing to Jesus' name. How about you? Oh, two people. How about you, friends? But you know what's going to hush us up? We're going to be in the middle of hitting a high note. Then the Lord walks in. He walks in, friends, and all voices are hushed. And the Bible says he does something. The Bible says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Can you imagine that? Being in heaven, Jesus, King Jesus walks in like he hasn't done enough. And he says, wait a minute, I want to sing you a song. Sing a song that quiets our souls. The Bible says, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before the Lord, says the Lord. How do we make it, friends? How many of you want to make it there? Raise your hand up high. Friends, I want to make it there. How do we do it? Don't follow this man's example. The Bible says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one, how? Running, and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Thou knowest, Jesus says, the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things I have observed from my what? Youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure where? In heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. And he was what? Sad at that saying, and he went away, for he had great what? I want to tell you something tonight, friends. Sober, very sobering. I want to tell you something. Jesus is offering each and every one of us salvation. And I want to tell you something. If you reject his salvation, if you reject God, if you reject his word, I'm telling you, doesn't matter what great possessions you have, it will never give you joy. It will never give you peace that lasts. Friends, the Bible says this man left with his great possessions, but the Bible said he was what? Sad. Nothing in this world is worth trading Jesus for. But there was another rich man, my favorite rich man in the Bible. Bible says, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. And he was rich, and when Jesus came to his place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I'm staying at your what? Friends, I have a question for you all right now. Is Jesus staying at your house tonight? Does he have room there? Or are you so busy with the pleasures of the world that it's crowding him out? Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house because he also is a son of Abraham. Friends, the first rich man was looking for eternal life without Jesus. Friends, are you looking forward to seeing Jesus? You know who I'm looking forward to seeing when I get there? I'm looking forward to seeing you all. Amen? Friends, I've had an amazing experience here at this church. There's few places you could say, this feels like my house, like my family. I feel like this is mi casa. You know who I'm looking forward to seeing? When I get to heaven, is the Eagley family here? Eagley family? In the back. These parents and the daughter have been brave enough to house two girls in their home for 3 months. Two complete strangers. Like Jesus, they said, mi casa es su casa. These girls are so happy. I'm looking forward to seeing you, family, in heaven. You truly have the spirit of Jesus, of hospitality, letting strangers into your home. It's not easy to do that, you know. You know who else I'm looking forward to seeing? Who's this? I'm looking to seeing Sister Betsy. Every time we come and do meetings here, every time we come and are working here, always welcomes her home. Opens up her home. She's about to turn 100 years old. And friends, she's looking more like Jesus as the years go by. I'm looking forward to seeing you, Sister Betsy, in the clouds of heaven. You have the Spirit of God. I'm looking forward to seeing you. There are church members and leaders that have made this meeting possible. The children's program was a complete success. Can you say amen? I don't know if Samuel and Lori are here. They're probably with the children. But I'm so thankful for them and all the others, like Linda and of course her man Martin, who have worked night and night to try to teach the young people about Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing you all in the kingdom of heaven. The kitchen. Praise the Lord for food. You know, Patty Joe did an amazing job. Somebody out there ought to say amen. Amen. Judy and Carolina, Nellie, and all those that helped in the kitchen, I'm looking forward to serving you from the Tree of Life when we get there. Looking forward to being there with you all. Thank you so much for all that you've done, making this meeting a success. Looking forward to seeing, where is she at? Sister Betty? She's got the picture. It's hiding her. Sister Betty, she is a prayer warrior leader. Every night she's there before 6:30. I get in there, barely any time. She's just so sweet, tender. She has the spirit of Jesus. Letting people into her home, having the spirit of prayer. Betty, I'm looking forward to seeing you in heaven. You know, there's some amazing ushers here at this church. Uncle Pete, is he in the house? He's probably outside. Where's Troy? Is Troy here? Brother Troy? Is George around? Where's George? Church Alive is worth the drive. I'm so thankful for these brothers. They spend time outside in the cold making sure your cars are safe while we're preaching the gospel in here. Making sure that you guys get a parking spot. I'm so thankful for their sacrifice that they made for these meetings. I'm looking forward to seeing you in the kingdom of heaven. There's a sweet lady in the house. Her name is Linda. Where is Linda? Is Linda here? She's with the kids. Linda was the one who went to the post office, showed the quarterly, invited a man to come to the meeting, and he came. Friends, that is the kind of missionary spirit you and I need to have in order to get out of this world into the next. Can you say amen? Amen. Friends, I'm so thankful that Linda is sharing Jesus wherever she goes. Looking forward to seeing her in the kingdom of heaven. There is a young girl in this place that I have been shocked. I first was sitting in the pews and I heard her share a children's story. Where is she at? Where's Elise? There you are. Your father's proud. I could see it in his face. You're 16 years old. Is that right? I've never seen a 16-year-old more consecrated than you. Sister, stay focused on Jesus. There's nothing in this world worth trading for. My prayer is that you continue to remain faithful, that all the young people in this place could look at your example and not think, oh, she's not having a good time. Not think, oh, she's wasting her time or she's wasting her youth. You are living life to the fullest by living for Jesus. Sister, I'm praising God for you. Keep looking to Jesus. If we had time, I would put every picture of you up on the screen. But your pictures are engraved in my heart. And there's been certain people that have made decisions for baptism. Their faces will ever be engraved in my mind. First one I would like to talk about is Kui. This woman here is the shyest person I've ever met in my life. So I probably should change the slide pretty quickly. She has been coming to the meetings. She's accepted the Sabbath before the meetings. In turn of doing that, friends, family and friends have rejected her for keeping the truth, and yet her eyes are fixed on Christ. She says, I'm getting baptized. Not because of any man or woman. I'm getting baptized because my love for Jesus, Kui, that spirit, will lead you straight to the kingdom of God. I'm looking forward to seeing you, Dr. Nate, sweet mother. Looking forward to seeing that family that sacrifices so much for the cause of the gospel. Looking forward to seeing you all in the kingdom of heaven. I had an amazing time this week clearing people for baptism. And one of the couples that blew my mind away were Michael and Merced. These two people have decided they want to be baptized. Somebody say amen. And you know what, friends? As I was sitting there, it was Dina and I, right? We were sitting there. They were telling why they wanted to get baptized. And they began to open up. Both of them raised Catholics. Last year, Merced has been going to church. Friends, one day, she tells her husband, they hear about tithing. And they say, you know what, we need to give 10%. They look to each other and say, wait a minute, we're barely making it. Literally, we're barely paying our bills. We cannot give any more. God said it, we must do it. They gave their 10% tithe. That day, when the bills came, they were able to pay it all. And they were wondering, how in the world do we still have money in the bank? They've been doing this ever since, friends. And ever since they've told me in the clearing process, it's a miracle. God is putting money in our bank. We don't know where it's coming from, but we give and He gives back. Brother Michael, where are you? Michael went up to his boss and said, he works for the Navy, and said, I cannot work on Sabbaths. He was ready for a 20-30 minute debate. The boss said, "Why not? Why can you work Friday nights?" He said, "Because I worship my Lord on that night." The boss looked to him and he said, "You got it. You worship your God." That kind of spirit is going to get you both into the kingdom of heaven, along with your precious children. Compromise doesn't save anybody, friends. Standing for the truth saves. Can you say amen? Amen. One of the first persons who stood up for baptism was Charles English. He was the first one who came up here, knelt down, wants to get baptized. He's willing to surrender all for King Jesus. That kind of spirit, Charles, is going to get you to the kingdom of heaven. I'm looking forward to seeing you there, brother. Joanne, Sister Joanne, I'm so thankful for you and for your commitment in following Christ. Don't let the pleasures of this world make you lose sight of the glory that God has for you. God has a special place. He's preparing it now. Remain faithful, my sister. And I will see you there soon. Brother Curtis, God bless you, my friend. You made a decision for King Jesus. Don't turn back. I'm going to be looking for you when we get to the kingdom of heaven. He has decided he wants to be baptized also. Sister Tracy, right here in the front. Sister Tracy, I've known you for years. I'm so thankful that you have made a decision to follow Jesus. Sister, don't turn back. Keep your eyes focused on the Lamb. You'll get to see Him soon. I'm looking forward to doing that with you. There's a young girl in the house. She's not here, I don't think, tonight. Her name is Gabby. Church member invited her and her whole family to the meeting. Is she here? I don't think she is. She stood up for baptism. Even though her family believed something else, she stood up in front of them and said, "I must get baptized." And today she confirmed it. "I need to get baptized." Praise God for her courage to be willing to say, "I want to be baptized regardless of what others think." There were some people that decided to be baptized at the 11th hour this morning. A young girl by the name of Hannah. Is Hannah here? Hannah stood up and said, "I need to get baptized." She felt convicted since she was 12, but never made the decision until tonight, friends. Today she stood up and said, "Lord, I want to get baptized." Looking forward to seeing her and these two sweet sisters who stood up this morning. They stood up and said, "I need to be baptized." Why? Because the first time I was baptized, I had no idea. No one studied with me. I had no clue what the Bible said. But now I'm getting to know my Jesus, and He has my heart. Friends, my dear sisters, if you keep giving your heart to Him, you'll make it there. There's a girl here that decided to be baptized that's really near and dear to my heart. Her name is Tisha. She is a Mexican. She is Mexican and Puerto Rican. I had the privilege of clearing her for baptism with Pastor and with Mary. I nearly cried right in front of her. She had the dream life, dream cars. Both her and her husband, nurses, getting paid, getting money, getting rich. She got hurt at work, lost her job. But in the meantime, as things that they couldn't afford had to be sold, and as they had to compartmentalize their life, friends, as they began to see and to suffer a bit, they saw their need for Jesus. And Tisha stood up and said, "I need to be baptized. God allowed me to hit rock bottom so I could find the rock Jesus." Tisha, I'm looking forward to seeing you in the kingdom of heaven along with your three sweet little girls. Amen. There's a young man here. His name is J.R. I don't know if J.R. is here tonight. But he stood up. He stood up. Family's Calvary Chapel. He stood up for baptism. He said, I want to give my heart to God. I have learned the truth. I want to follow King Jesus. In the process of him standing up, his mother, his father, and his brother have decided to be baptized. A young man who said, I want to stand for Jesus. I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't care what anyone says. Leading his family to Christ. Compromise will never save anyone. There's a sweet family that is here that I cannot skip tonight. They flew in all the way from a strange place called Arkansas. Magda and Dwight. If it wasn't for you, Magda, I wouldn't have married my Romanian rose. She is the woman that was the link between Abby and I. She is Abby's greatest mentor. One of Abby's greatest friends. They are leading out in a school that's creating people like me. I graduated from the school that she's the president of. They're gaining soul winners for Jesus. I'm so thankful for you both. You came at the perfect time. You are leading and training people to be soul winners. And all the while, you have led me to my partner. In winning souls, I'm so thankful for you all. Looking forward to seeing you all in the kingdom of heaven. There's another person, as we're coming to a close, that has shook my world. Serenity. She wrote this testimony. She's about to be 10 years old. She didn't have the help of her mother. When I made an appeal for baptism, she stood up on her own. Her mother wasn't pushing her. Her mother wasn't telling her. She says, 1 year ago, I moved out here to California because my mom had transferred out here. But she also had gotten a divorce with my dad. When I moved out here, I felt that God was not answering my prayers, but I also found that he was ignoring me because I would ask God, why do I have to live so far away from my dad? A 9-year-old writing this. Then sometimes I would feel that God would just stay silent and not answer my prayer. Then about 5 months ago, October 1st, David Machado gave a sermon here at this church called Give Me This Mountain. And it moved me so much that I realized that God does answer my prayers. He does hear me. He does listen. After attending the seminar, studying the Bible, I want to let Jesus inside my heart forever. Lucy, there are many parents who wish they could have children like that. 10 years old? Not even? The night when she stood up for baptism, she stood up alone. Her mother didn't stand. As they went home that night, she asked her mother, Mother, can you please be baptized with me? I want to see you in heaven. Mother said, I can't, mija. I can't do it. I just can't. Battling inside. This Monday morning, at 2 a.m., God woke me up. At 2 a.m., and all I could think about was Lucy, Serenity's mother. So from 2 to 5, I prayed. I prayed. I prayed that Lucy would make a decision. Guess what happened that morning? At 2 o'clock in the morning, she woke up. She said she had a headache. She couldn't wake up. I mean, she could barely think. So she said, Lord, you must be wanting me to get baptized. So if you want me to get baptized, show me. She started reading the devotion. in her devotion. It God convicted her that she needed to make that decision. I met with her and my wife 8:30 in the morning at a restaurant. She gave me her decision card that said, I'm ready to be baptized. Lucy, she's probably hiding too. I'm so thankful you're not hiding from Jesus anymore. I'm looking forward to spending eternity with you in heaven. You know, I've been so blessed to work with such a great team. There is a young man in this place who's fairly new, but we've never sounded better. He is the man right there that runs the sound, Ben's brother. His name is Nate. So thankful that he was willing, listen, to quit his job, to leave his apartment that he still had a lease on for 2 months, to come and work for us, and we didn't even promise him anything. He was willing to leave all to help his brother spread the gospel. That kind of spirit will get you straight to heaven. I'm looking forward to seeing you, brother, in the clouds of glory. You know, there's others I'm so thankful for. Ben and Vanessa have quickly become like my family. My mother calls Ben hijo. She says, I love you, mijo. Like, what in the world's going on here? You know what Ben says? I love you too, Mom. This ministry has converted Ben. He sang at my wedding. He had a heart that was not filled with Jesus still. As soon as I heard him, I said, Abby, we got to get this boy. She called him up. He came. As he began to sing for Jesus, Jesus began to sing to his heart. And this ministry has brought him to his knees. He's given his life to Christ. I'm so thankful for Ben. Where's Vanessa? She's probably weeping somewhere. Vanessa is like my sister. Her and I, we get mad at the same thing. We get happy at the same things. I'm so thankful for her. She was willing to leave Texas, leave a successful business that she was owner of, to come down here and sing for Jesus. Jesus is using them and bringing people to Christ. Can you say amen? Amen? I'm so thankful for you all. I'm looking forward to singing with you all at the Tree of Life. There's another young whippersnapper that's in the house. Her name is Dina. Oh my, Dina. How many of you have been blessed by Dina? Look at those hands, Dina. Dina is an amazing woman, amazing girl. The moment she came here to start Bible work, I was here, and she said, David, I just want one more soul. I want one more soul. That was the theme of her heart. I want to study with people. I want to lead them to Christ. That's all she could think about. That kind of spirit, Dina, is going to lead you straight to the kingdom of heaven. Don't let anything or anyone take that spirit away. I praise God for you. She's just learning how to win souls. She's doing an amazing job. There's a young boy here by the name of Christian, and surely he is a Christian. This young boy is so quiet. He's talking right now. You probably can't hear him. I'm just kidding. This boy has a heart of gold. He loves Jesus. He doesn't need to speak loud to show his love for God. His silent acts of goodness every day show that he's a Christian. Looking forward, my brother, to seeing you in the clouds of glory. Keep looking to Jesus, bro. Don't let anything in this life turn you away from him. This is my sweet cousin Mary. She's always smiling. Just kidding. I love teasing her. Do you know she is the first person I believe she's the first person I have ever baptized. My sweet cousin Mary. I'm so thankful that she's giving her heart to God. Lord knows how long I've been praying for her. Years. Ever since 10 years ago when I gave my life to God, I've been praying for my family by name every single day. I got to baptize her. I praise God for Mary. I know that God has plans for you. I know God wants to reach souls through you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, Mary. And Mary, did you know? God has amazing plans for you. This brother is a big koala. Every time we sense any danger, Pastor was like, "Where's CJ?" We've had some crazy things happening around here, but when CJ's in the house, we don't fear anything. This guy is strong as an ox. But he's so kind. CJ, bro, I've had such a great time working with you, man. Don't let the pleasures of this world take your focus away from Christ. Keep looking to Jesus. And soon, your family will. Soon, your neighbors will. Soon, everyone that comes in contact with you will. Keep looking, bro. Looking at Jesus. We're going home. This girl here, I can almost say she's the apple of my eye. I love this girl so much. I've worked with her for I don't know how many meetings. I've never had to worry about anything. Tell Leah to do something, then I would have to probably tell her twice, but she got it done. She has a heart of a child. She's so tender and so sweet. So thankful for you, Leah. I'm looking forward to seeing you win more souls for Christ. Keep looking to Him. Keep looking to Him. I'm so thankful for the pastors. Pastor Jeff is pretty cool, amen. Bet you've never seen that side. Where is he? He's probably in the mother's room hiding. He stole my son's name, Judah. But I don't think there's a more perfect child to have that name than him. This brother is a great example of what it means to be a pastor and a father. So thankful for Pastor Jeff, wherever you are. Thank you for your example, and thank you for allowing me to borrow the pulpit for a little bit. Looking forward to seeing you and your family in heaven. Pastor Sam, you have taught me so much. So much. The greatest thing you have taught me is that your family is your number one ministry. Remember, I called him one day and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't come. I'm with my wife. And I'm going to be busy for a couple hours with her." It taught me really quick how important it is to spend time in your number one ministry, and that's your family. Thank you, Pastor, for your example. I will never forget it. Praise God for you. The person I'm thankful for the most tonight is none other than my Romanian rose. You are the apple of my eye. I've been so blessed of having a woman that's willing to live wherever God calls us to go. I've been so blessed to be able to find someone who's really, truly willing to surrender all for Christ. So thankful that God saved her from me. Without her, I'm sure I cannot do half as much as what I'm doing. I'm so thankful for her. Looking to spend all eternity with you. I'm looking to living at least with you in the kingdom of heaven. Spend all eternity with you. Friends, Jesus is coming soon. He's getting ready to take us off of this wicked, sin-filled planet to a planet that will know no more pain. Every series that I do something special. How many of you tonight want to make it to heaven? Raise your hand. I want you to do me a favor. All those that want to make it to heaven, I want you to stand. And I want us to make a circle around this building right here inside. Let's go. Gather around the walls. You guys could come up here. We could take pictures later on this backdrop. But let's come over here. Let's start the circle from here. Let's go all along the wall. Stick very close to each other. Very close. So let's make more room. You guys could come up here. If you all could come down. Can I have your attention? How many of you are looking forward to surrounding the tree of life? The only way we can make it there is if we are true to the commitment that we are about to make tonight. I want you all to make a promise tonight that for 1 year, you're going to pray for the person on your right, and you're going to pray for the person on the left every single day. And your prayer is, Lord, I want to see this person in heaven. So at this moment, I want you to get the person on your left and your right, I want you to get their names. And by God's grace, I want you to commit to pray for them every day. Alrighty. Friends, how many of you think you could do that? Amen? Pray for the person on your left. Pray for your person on your right every single day and say, Lord, help this person make it to heaven. We need prayer. Can you say amen? Amen. That's the way we're going to make it, is by praying for one another. And so tonight, we have made a covenant to Jesus that we're going to lift each other up in prayer. That the circle we are making will never be broken. We will continue to be linked arm in arm when we get to the tree of life. Before we pray, I want to invite Pastor to come. I want to invite Ben to come forward. And before we have closing prayer, I want you to picture heaven as Ben sings this song.
That day gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more pain, no more tears, and never crying again, and praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around how the nations bow down to sing. The only sound is the praises to Christ our King. Slowly the names from the book are read, but I know the King, so there is no need, no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I am. And we will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, there's a mansion prepared for me, where I will live with my Savior eternally. And there will be no more night, no more pain, oh, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I am. And we will live in the light of the risen Lamb. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb.
Pastor, I'm going to pray, and can you close this Bible prophecy seminar with another prayer? Bow our heads for prayer.
Amen.
My Father, what an amazing 3 weeks this has been.
Amen.
And Lord, we are so thankful for those that made decisions for you.
Amen.
And we're so thankful tonight that we are circling by faith. We are circling in faith, saying, Lord, we're looking forward to seeing the person on my right and the person on my left in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
May this chain, this link, never be broken. May we find every single person here in the kingdom of heaven when we get there.
Amen.
In the time being, Lord, help us to spread the gospel. Help us to share that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Let's put an end, Lord, to all these statistics of people dying. Help us to make a change in those statistics as we spread.
Test 1, 2.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity that you gave the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church to host a Revelation of Love Prophecy Seminar. Father, we see it as a privilege to be able to work with you, with David, with the Bible workers, the singers, and every person that came each night. Father, we thank you that you have not forgotten planet Earth, that you see hope still on planet Earth. You see people that need to hear Jesus. And Father, may our greatest message be, as we love one another, may people know that we are your disciples. May they sense something different in each one of us. May they see your Holy Spirit in us. May this world sense that, yes, time is short. And there's still many who do not know who Jesus is. So as we leave this place, Father, as we come to an end of a beautiful series, as David reminded us tonight, may we not keep this to ourselves. May we make a commitment tonight to live this message, to share it with someone else, and to see what mighty things you can do through each one of us. We need 1-year-olds, 2-year-olds to witness for Jesus. We also need 99-year-olds, 100-year-olds to witness for Jesus. And yes, then we will see Jesus come again. And we thank you again, Father, for this beautiful opportunity to work along with David, with the team, with each one of our church members. We thank you for all of the guests that are here tonight. We are honored to have them here. And Father, may we continue to shine for you till Jesus comes. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I know David wants the mic, but I'm going to still keep it for a little while. Here comes another mic. Thank you. I want to say something. Test 1, 2. I'm not just going to share the refreshments afterwards, brothers and sisters. So please stick around if you can. But I want to share something. How many of us have been blessed by having David and the entire team here? Amen? Amen. We want to ask them all to maybe come over here, right next to David, because I know Fallbrook has a lot of ways of sharing their love and their and just the generosity that exists in this church. It's a special church. And Pastor Jeff and myself, we feel privileged in being the pastors of this church. And sometimes maybe people around us might say, why are you guys so protective of this church? It's a special church. Amen? It's a very special church. Beautiful people, beautiful, beautiful, talented people that are willing to share not just their resources, but their time and the talents that God has given them. And so we praise God for each one of you and for the opportunity to work alongside each one of you. And brothers and sisters, will we also make a commitment to praying for David and this entire team? Amen? Not just for the person next to us, but also for this team. They want to see Jesus come soon. They really do. They have a desire. And if there's ever a time where we as a church can think of investing, we know the stock market goes up and down. Interest rates go up and down. But brothers and sisters, here we have young people who want to go up. Amen? Amen? They want to go to heaven. And I think we have come to a time as a church, not just here in Fallbrook, but I think North America, the entire world, where we need to be thinking of how can we invest in our young people so they can go and preach the word with power. Amen? And also help us to do the work that God is calling us to do. It's time. We want to go home. Amen? This is getting tougher and tougher every day. I'm getting more and more tired every day. I got more gray hairs. But praise the Lord that he's lifting up a group of young people who are willing to step in. And I hope you've seen something here at this church that you want to take with you as well, wherever you go. There are good people here that will give everything they have to serve Jesus. And I've seen that over and over and over and again. I go, wow. And so this is, again, only by the grace of God that we can do this, because we take time to have a relationship with Jesus and ask his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Amen? So we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We do. For the work that you have done here. Very much appreciated. I'm done.
Alrighty, well, this is the end of the Revelation Love Bible Prophecy Seminar. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you, and we're looking forward to seeing you in the kingdom of heaven. Good night.